Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And here we go, Sam. This is it. We've entered officially the period of the season where we are sorting out the engaged managers from the casual managers. The blank game weeks are here. The doubles are coming. This is it, isn't it? This is chip season. This is where it starts getting exciting, no?
It's chaos time.
It's chaos time. This was the calm before the storm. And I have to say,
well, it was very calm, wasn't it? It was boring.
Some of the games, especially today, Sunday, very calm.
Yawn fest.
Oh my days, there were some proper boring games this weekend. Listen, the narrative will continue about there being too many games, the players are under too much pressure, etc., etc. But yeah, not a lot of goals knocking about, particularly today. But nevertheless, yeah, from an FPL perspective, it is still pretty exciting because we're coming into that season now, aren't we? Mm. This is where the real cream rises to the top, no?
I mean, in theory, yes. But the reality is that everybody knows there's blanks coming because everybody's helped. Like, there's so much content out there now, isn't there? And the Premier League sends you notifications and there's articles. And yeah. So even the most casual managers still know that there's blank game weeks coming. So, yes, I think it gives us... It used to give us a massive advantage, didn't it? The chaos matches. I think it's less now in a chaos game week than it normally is, or than it used to be maybe. But it's still definitely the fun part of the season. These last few weeks of the season, for me, they're the most bonkers and therefore, you know, the most interesting. And I like the chaos weeks. I know you are I like 10 game weeks, 10 matches in a game week, and that's how I am.
That is very true. And in previous seasons, I think that's the case. But I feel like I've been preparing for this chaos for quite a while. I feel quite ready for the chaos.
Do you?
That's very unlike me.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, in previous seasons, well documented, right? If you've been here on the channel for a long time. I'm a boring... You're right. I like the 10 fixtures a week. Keep it boring. No chaos. But this period feels difficult. Feels different as well.
Okay.
I feel like I've been preparing for it, been talking about limping along for a few weeks and actually preparing to get my team in a position for game week 31 and to deal with the blank and then play the wild card in 32 and then play probably the bench boost after that.
Right.
So I got the free hit still as well. So I think this extra round of chips is helping us to navigate this carnage. Now, if this were last season, I probably would have just not played the chips in the first half, right? I would have kept it knowing that this carnage was coming.
Okay.
But still, I feel a little bit ahead of the game. Do you feel a little bit ahead of the game, or do you feel prepared for the carnage? Or no, because you've got no wild card, right? But plenty of transfers.
Loads of transfers. And I also feel like my team is like, I don't think it's that different from where most people are going to wildcard to. Like, I feel like the decision to wildcard for me made a lot of sense when I did it. And it's made a massive impact on how my season's gone. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like my ducks are roughly in a line. I know what I'm doing.
All right.
I have a plan. I have loads of transfers.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, good. Well, the other thing to say is that here we are again, Sam, on a Sunday night. Look at that screen.
I know.
Look at that screen. I think that is my 7th green arrow in a row. Like, mad run I'm on at the minute. And listen, none of them have been like... Well, actually, a couple of them have been quite big steps. But I've been chipping away.
This is a big step.
This is fine.
This is like 19% up. Yeah. That's good.
We'll talk about our teams later on, of course, right? We'll talk about teams and scores. And here we are on a Sunday night. We still have the Brentford game to go. Brentford versus Wolves is the Monday night game. I've still got Thiago to go.
Yeah, me too.
You got anybody else or just Thiago?
No, just Thiago.
Okay, so there will be some Dangos. There'll be some Kelleher's. There might even be some, I don't know, Cody's Sharders and Vanderbergs and some Sharders around. So depending on how that game goes, it will have an effect on my rank. But Thiago's the big one. He's the big ownership one, isn't he? So
yep.
I've got him. So that's good. I think if it's a Dango masterclass hat trick, then it might, that 1-2-4K will
owned
suffer. But it won't be. I don't think I'm getting a red this week. I think I'm all right.
You're not getting a red this week.
Nah, I don't think so.
You're
should
staying
be right
this week.
Should be right. So for those of you that are listening to the podcast, up to 124K I am at the minute. And 1.6 for you. So both definitely trending in the right direction.
This
certainly
the best rank I've had all season.
Yeah, same. Yeah, for me, it's the same. It's the best I've been. And I feel like over the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, I think if you cast your minds back to maybe 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, I sat here going, well, I'm going to hold on my chips. This is my strategy. But God, it's going to be a slog between now and game week 31.
Yeah.
And it has at times felt a bit of a slog, but that slog has been green a lot of the time. Now, we'll look at my team for 31 and I'm not convinced I'm going to get a green next week, but then...
But you've said that for the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And it's been difficult for a lot. It will be difficult for a lot of people in 31.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people, because a lot of us are sort of got the City and the Arsenal assets. There's a few moonazis knocking around, right? For sure, right? So, yeah, lots to consider. Lots to discuss tonight on FPL Family. Before we do that, Sam, let's get on with saying hello to a few people. Here we go. I've got to bring up the chat. Here is the... chat. Joseph Maloney, very nice to see you, mate. Very nice to see you. George is in, as usual. Hey, George. Nick F7 is here. Richard Lohman is here. Bad game week for Richard Sam. Only 46 points. Bit of a tough one. That's a tough one, Richard. Do not worry. If you've got, maybe you've got a couple of Brentford players.
Mm.
Maybe you've got a Dango and a Thiago to come, mate. You can still salvage something out of this week. I think actually this week, largely going to be the Bruno cappers versus the Liverpool cappers, isn't it? I think there's a few Haalands as well knocking about.
There was a lot of Haalands.
There's quite a lot of Ekitikes knocking about, wasn't there?
There was a lot of Ekitikes.
Some Salahs as well, you know. But I think Bruno just keeps delivering, doesn't he? Absolutely brilliant. Danny's in. Hey, Danny. Nice to see you, mate. Danny McDonald. Who else we got? We've got Greg FPL, Bruno Power, he says. Yeah, I mean, listen. At home as well, just so consistent. I think his last five...
10, 13, 10.
Yeah, double-digit hauling every time.
Yeah.
Every time, Bruno. I think he's... For me, he's the new perma-captain. You know, for a few years now, we've had Haaland as the perma-captain and we've needed a good excuse to go against him. My view is now it's Bruno. You need a good opinion or a good reason to go against Bruno. Yeah, particularly at home. Oh, yeah, particularly at home, right? And his relationship with Casemiro is mad, isn't it?
They're not letting Casemiro walk. Man United at the end of the
fans,
season,
how do you feel about this? I mean, it's some mad stat I read about them being, you know, this is nearly Kane and Son levels, isn't it? In terms of assists and goals, it's crazy. Well, it's getting there.
It's not Kane and Son level, is it?
It's getting there.
Why have you gone to that extreme?
It's getting there.
There's no need to be ridiculous about it.
Kim Player One is in. Hey, nice to see you, Kim. I guess Lee is in shock. A little bit, mate. That 1-1 definitely felt like a defeat, and I have. Well, let's just have a lot of thoughts about that. We're going to come to that in a minute. And I have vehemently stood behind this manager for some time, and I might not be able to do that for much longer. Let's see. We've got the Smiths, 1986. Azzy is here. Nice to see you, mate. Rory Scott is here. Football and Stuff, The Next Revolution. We've got War Hornet and Sizing Dave, a whole host. Daniel Banks, 51.2, is in as well. So, look, guys, welcome along to the FPL Family live stream. If this is your first, a lot of familiar names in there, by the way, but we thank you for being here. But if this is your first FPL Family live stream, then welcome along. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. Sam, we are cracking on today because we've got so much to discuss.
I said to you earlier.
A lot to discuss, actually.
Let's make sure that we leave enough time to talk about our teams for next week, because that is actually the important bit because of the blank. So let's not spend hours, Lee.
Right. Me?
With you.
You mad?
Wait.
Me?
Ranting. Because let's be frank, when you get on a Liverpool rant.
Very rarely happens that, Sam.
I mean, it's happened every week for the last few weeks. You've gone on a rant about something.
Rare.
Do you want to start with it or do you want to start somewhere else?
Well, I'd like people in the live chat and in the chat, if you're watching the replay... Who waffles on this? Who waffles more, me or Sam?
No, I didn't because say waffling. I wasn't
just
talking about waffling.
We've got to get on with
this. I was talking about you ranting about Liverpool, which goes on for about 20 years when you start.
And you know what? The irony of this is you've just brought that up as a conversation. We've waited 2 minutes talking about it. That's
I'm just saying, let's start. We'll start timing you. From when you talk about Liverpool, we'll start the timer. We'll see how long it goes for.
Seafoggle, thank you. Lee's the waffler. George, Lee, you do rabbit on. Oh, okay.
Thanks, guys.
Fixture ticker, as I always do, going correctly too. The game week results, Sam. Game week results. Plenty to discuss. I think we should start here. We'll build to the FPL Family Derby. Build to that.
So where are we starting?
Arsenal. Arsenal 2, Everton 0. Listen, as Premier League moments go, I saw some stuff on X about, it's up there with the Aguero. And it's not, right? It's not. But for him as a player, for Max Dowman as a player, is it 15? 16?
16.
16-year-old. I mean, Arsenal fans, what a moment. What a moment. And it was worthy. I mean, we like to put Haaland and Bruno and Ekitike and Salah on these thumbnails.
It could easily have been a family derby one, couldn't it, today?
The clicks, doesn't it? Let's be honest, gets the clicks. But for this week, I said to you, there's no way we're not having a, Max-related pun, Arsenal pun, and Mr. Dowman on the front screen on the thumbnail. Because he come on and, to be honest, changed the game. Right, changed the game. Because if you look at some of the XG of that game, you look at the overall XG across the game, it will tell you a very different story than what you were watching, right? Because the XG says, well, Arsenal out XG'd him easy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the two goals, the Jokeres goal, is a tap-in, isn't it, really? It comes about in fairly weird kind of circumstances where Pickford misses the flight of the ball. Unusually for him, by the way.
Yep.
Unusually for him. Incapié just hits Incapié and it just falls to Jokeres, and he's got like a very high XG chance. And then, of course, the Max Dowman goal was high XG. He's a bloody goalkeeper there. Mm. So if you take those two chances out, the rest of the Arsenal XG in that game was pretty low XG stuff.
Okay.
So the narrative, if you just read the XG, the narrative is, well, Arsenal blitzed them. Mm. No, they didn't. Everton were very, very good in this game, defended very well. And actually, I think I saw a stat about over the last 10 games or something, they're the third best defence after Arsenal, Man City. So Arsenal found it hard to break Everton down. Now, listen, they got the job done in the end. Well played, Arsenal. And that's a big step towards the title, right? Particularly in a weekend where City haven't won either. Mm. So give me your view. Firstly, I want to hear about Max from you. I mean, this kid, I mean, absolutely brilliant. He's 4.2, by the way, in FPL, an attacker. I don't think any of us are getting him, right? But still, it's just a great story. And as a Spurs fan, you won't like to tell it, but you've got to admit it's a good story.
Hang on, why do I get having a dig at then?
What
do you mean?
Well, it's an Arsenal happy story. I didn't think you'd be happy about telling it.
Okay. I was nothing but positive about it yesterday.
Oh, Arsenal winning the league and their teenage wonder kid comes on and scores the winner and wins the game for him. Well, you've got to be delighted about that.
Can we also note that interlude into him asking me a question took 5 minutes. Yeah. So waffle.
Go on then. Tell us about how happy you are at Arsenal winning the league. Go on.
What are you talking about now?
Go on, tell us.
I tell you what, when Liverpool don't play well, you're a bit of a deviant.
Oh, I am. I got so much vitriol about Liverpool in my system.
Has very little to do with Arsenal winning the league. I can think that that's a proper moment without being happy about it. Like, that is a proper Premier League moment. That is one of those moments where, and actually, credit to Martinelli during that moment, because they're running along together. Martinelli realises what's about to happen, and rather than trying to get involved himself, just checks back and takes out the defender, checks the run of the defender just to make sure that Max finishes it. I got a lot of time for that. Like, that's decent work, teamwork, which, you know, quite a few other teams in the Premier League could benefit from, to be honest. Look, Arsenal, I didn't think it was a great performance from them. I thought Everton did a good job in this game. And, you know, obviously they were without Tarkowski as well, which does affect the way that their backline plays. Probably more on him later when we're talking about your team, because obviously you didn't play him this week, but you will be wanting him for next week for sure.
That's the reason I've kept him so long, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was a particularly wonderful Arsenal performance, but that moment was incredible. And it's moments like that that fundamentally will win the Premier League for them, especially then going into the fact that Manchester City then go and drop points in the game that followed on immediately afterwards. So yeah, decent performance. I mean, I think actually it's more interesting. It's weird, isn't it? Because you think, oh, we should spend some time talking about Arsenal, but they don't play next week. So for us in FPL, they're kind of irrelevant right now, because it's just a case of what are you doing with your Arsenal assets? That's the only kind of talking point that you have for them.
I'm interested in your opinion more than I am my own here, because in game week, I'll be binning them, keeping them, doesn't really matter. I can go 32 and be wildcarding, so I'll figure it out then. But for you that hasn't got the wildcard, and for those that haven't got the wildcard that are watching and listening, are you holding, or what you're holding through 31? What's the plan? And if you are, which are you holding?
I'm holding Gabrielle. I don't think that there's any... There's no justifiable reason in my mind not to hold Gabriel. I just think that's madness, because you will immediately want him straight back again, regardless of the fact that the fixtures that they have following are a bit more difficult. I think you want Gabriel. We've seen that this week from, you know, the regularity of DEFCON, the regularity of attacking returns, the regularity of bonus points, just everything about him is just, it's great. So you have to hold Gabriel. I sacked off Rice this week, and it was funny because I was a little bit worried that we might end up in a row today.
Go on.
Because it was Mother's Day. Yeah. And I thought, I can't, you know, Liverpool Spurs, Mother's Day, can't see that ending well for us. So we decided to go on a family day out yesterday after we'd been on Sky. And I could not for the life of me, could I decide what I was doing. I was backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards.
Very unlike you. Normally on deadline day, you're done. You lock it in the night before, usually.
Yeah, normally I'm really settled with my team. But this week, I just couldn't, I could not work out what I thought was the best thing to do. Because what I thought was the best thing to do was ditch Morgan Rogers. And I couldn't quite bring myself to do it, knowing that he had a game.
God,
next week.
I want to ditch to Morgan Rogers now, don't you? You've been saying it for weeks. You're absolutely right.
I've been talking about it for weeks and weeks, and I should have done it 5 weeks ago. And honestly, it's been the most frustrating hold. But I'd got to the point where this week I was looking at it thinking, I'm mad to ditch him when I've got four players blanking. Well, at this point I had five. Five players blanking next week. Plus he plays Wolves. Like, surely. No, it's not Wolves. It's Burnley, isn't it? Can't remember who Villa
West Ham
played.
At home, isn't it?
Yes, it's West Ham. I can't, I knew it was somebody at the bottom. I can't sack him off right now. I've got to hold him. So I'm looking at the rest of my team.
Back Villa to win that game, by the way.
No.
West Ham look great, don't they, at the minute? I mean, it's Villa look so bad.
Yeah, although West Ham's XG was really poor, as you'll see if we look at the XG table from this week. Yeah. They were bottom for XG this week. Look, so I've held him. And so I was looking at it thinking, I feel like if I'm going to make a transfer, it has to be one that helps me out with next week. Unlike you, I did not trust an Ekitike start. So I didn't want to do Haaland to Ekitike.
Yeah.
I really did consider Haaland to João Pedro this week. That very nearly happened.
Okay.
But there was a bit of me that just thought, how can I sell Haaland ahead of West Ham? Like, I can't really, can I? I feel like if he's going to play, which I think he's going to, I have to hold him. So in the end, I sold Rice.
For who?
For Tavernier.
All right, we'll get to him in a bit.
We will get to him in Bournemouth in a little while. So I sold him for Tavernier, and I don't regret it, because actually my reason for doing it was that I will not reinvest in Rice after the blank, because I don't think Rice has been that good.
Okay.
The period of time when he was excellent in FPL terms was the one where he kept fluking FPL points. And I mean that in the nicest way, Arsenal fans. That's not me being Spurs or anything like that. But like, we had the headed own goal. We had the one that the corner that came off the hand and they won a penalty for it and he gets an assist for it. There was a lot of like fortunate FPL points that came in that period for Rice. And over the last few weeks, not that he's been bad, because I think from an actual playing perspective he's still been outstanding, but he hasn't had the lucky FPL points that have come with it. So like this week it's just a three-pointer and he got nowhere near the DEFCON really. So yeah, I was happy to sell him on the basis that I didn't want him back again afterwards. I think I will redouble up on Arsenal after the blank, but it would be with a different Arsenal player, and therefore I was happy to sell.
Okay. Who would be that other Arsenal player, do you think?
I'd probably go back
seeing
onto the defence again.
To double defence again?
Yeah. Now,
Timber injured this week?
Timber potentially injured.
Yeah.
I probably might look at doing Roofs to Raya in the coming weeks.
Okay.
Or possibly going in on another defender. Maybe if Saka turns around and starts doing something, I can go there. But right now, I think going into 32, as it'll be then, I'll be sort of happy to stick on just one Arsenal and work out where we land. Because by the time we get into 32, we'll know exactly where we are for Champions League, FA Cup, every other thing. And therefore probably where the double lies,
okay,
if there is one.
All right. Anything to say about Everton then? Any
Tarkowski's
there?
The big talking point really, isn't it, I think?
Because
I think if you've got somebody like a Dewsbury Hall or anyone else really in
Everton.
What do
you think of Ndiaye's performance?
I didn't really have an opinion on Ndiaye. Why? Did you
think
it was all right?
I thought he played all right. I get the feeling with him. I don't know if he's a bit sort of like Bertie Big Game, isn't he? He like turns up against the big boys, doesn't he, Ndiaye? I don't know. Like, I thought he played well without really ever threatening to get any FPL points. But
who they got next week? Who they got in the back? Oh, it's Chelsea, isn't it?
It is Chelsea, yeah. Let's have a look at the fixture ticket for Everton. Actually, over the next, let's say, how many games? I've extended this a bit today. So over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Over the next 8 game weeks, that takes us up to game week 36, by the way. That's how close we are to the end of the season. So according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker that you guys can see on screen, sorry for the podcasters, but I'll read it out as best I can. Everton up next.
I've
done this wrong.
You've done something wrong here, because game week 36 would only be 6 weeks.
Yeah, I've done that. I've got game week 29 there, because they don't play Burnley next, do they?
We're on 31 next.
Right.
Are you all right, dear? What have you done?
I tell you what. You talk for a minute, and I'll fix that. I will fix it live in play.
You're going to fix it on the slide.
Go on. Tell me about Tarko.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because injury and training is what we were told. I guess if you've held him this far, you're going to need him because most people won't have a bench to cover for it. So you're going to have to hope and pray. The good thing about Moyes is he is normally quite honest. So if it is something that's going to be a problem, I do think we might hear about it ahead of the blank game week. But that's going to be a transfer that managers don't really want to have to make.
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't invest in Everton for the blank, but I also wouldn't de-invest unless Moyes categorically rules out Tarko. If he's not going to play, then I think you're going to have to consider selling him because he is a worse hold than an Arsenal or a Man City asset if he's not fit.
All right, okay. Keep talking. No. I'm not done it yet.
What are you doing now?
Keep talking.
I can't believe this is...
It's coming.
Oh, jeepers, guys.
Here we go. Look at this. Oh, no. Live in play. It's not great. I'll be honest.
The fact that you said to me just before we came on, you've messed up this slide. Look, before we came on, he said to me, you've not changed the players on my bench. I don't think this slide's quite right. I was like, oh, I've probably just not forgot to change the bench.
Done it. There we go.
You've got the whole fixture ticker wrong.
There's the fixture ticker for the rest of the season now. Rest of the season. Look at that. I'm getting a round of applause from George in the chat. Thank you, George.
George, please don't encourage him. He should have done his job before we came on the stream.
Thanks, mate. Joseph Maloney, FPL Family Tech Issues. What's new? Yeah, but listen, we fixed it, mate. Joseph, listen, you've been here long enough. You remember the days when the bloody camera fell over and the police turned up at the door.
No, remember the day I threw the hat and it knocked the camera
you
over?
You threw the hat, knocked the camera over. Joseph.
The police? That was a good one.
You've been here long enough. This is elite. Streaming, fixing stuff on the fly now.
Didn't someone else come to the door while we were doing?
Probably, yeah. Probably. Back in the good old days, where just shit happened. It was ridiculous.
With them green curtains as well.
We did. It was terrible. Joseph,
it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
It's just what we had at that point.
It's just what we had. See, we were learning. But yeah, Joseph will remember. He's been here ages. He'll remember that.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I'm fixing fixture tickers on the fly now, Joseph. This is proper.
Well, it would be proper if you did it right the first time.
Well, yes, all right, shut up. Right, so again, what was I talking about? Everton fixtures. Yeah, there it is, Chelsea at home. And I told you it was Chelsea at home, knew it'd be right. This is the fixture ticket for...
It's an 8-game week day. It goes all the way up to game week 26. What?
Yeah, people are saying green curtains, what? These are the noobs. These are welcome along to FPL Family in 2026. You don't remember the green curtains. Go back and have a look at season one and two. This is the ninth year we've been doing this. Remember season one and two with the green curtains?
God, we moved halfway through a season as well, so there will have been one week where we would add green curtains.
Duncan's in. Duncan says, yeah, I remember the green curtains. There he is.
Yep,
Duncan's an OG. There we are. The green curtains. Bloody hell. If you don't know what we're talking about, then... Don't go back and watch them videos. They were awful. Right, so there's a fixture ticket. Everton fixture's all right. I totally missed what you were saying about Tarko because I was busy dealing with a fixture ticker.
Listening, Bonfield.
My man, I can't do two things at once.
Can't do one thing. Get the fixture ticker right in the first place.
What are we saying then? Should I hold or sell Tarko depending on injury news?
Well, I've told you once. I'm not telling you again.
All right, I'll go back and I'll rewatch.
What are you going to do? I said you basically can't hold until you hear what Moyes says.
Depends. If he's injured and he's out, then I'll sell him, won't I?
Yeah, you've got to have the most. Moyes tells you the truth.
Yeah. And if I sell him, it's probably for a hit, isn't it? Because remember, I'm skinny on transfers.
Can't take a hit going into the blank.
I think you can if it means you're fielding 11.
How many blankers you got? Four.
Well, we'll get to that later on. We'll get to that in my team. So Arsenal, very good. But let's stop talking about them because they don't play next week. I was going to say, should we do City next? But they don't play next week either. So
well, let's get them out of the way just quickly.
Go on then.
Because West Ham do play next week.
So I sold Haaland this week.
Can I ask how you felt about that? Like once you'd done it and then you saw he was starting.
Oh, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole game, uncomfortable. Even when it got to, even the first half, he didn't really have much of a sniff. It's just uncomfortable not having Haaland, right?
Okay.
But when I got to the end of the game, I thought, I sort of reflect on it and you think, well, yeah, a couple of half chances, but... You wouldn't necessarily say that he was firing all cylinders. And it wasn't like, you know, by the time it got to sort of 60, 70 minutes, I thought, well, he ain't hat-tricking.
No.
Probably not bracing based on the performance we've seen so far. And there was even a moment where I thought Pep was going to bring him off, but he bought Semenyo off instead.
Mm.
And actually in his post-match, Pep was saying, well, perhaps he could have kept Semenyo on. I don't know if you saw that. And maybe he made a mistake.
Mm.
So, listen, in the cold light of day, it seems okay. And now I've not got the headache for next week, right? I've got no Haaland.
So what's your plan, though? now.
So the question you need to ask me is, am I going to bring him back in game week 32 on my wildcard?
Well, that was the question I just asked you. What's your plan now?
Well, at the minute, no.
So you're going to wildcard and not have Haaland? It's your current plan?
At the moment, yeah.
Okay.
At the moment. We've got to see what happens around Madrid. We've got to see what happens in the League Cup final, all that stuff, right?
Well, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? Because the FA Cup and also the first leg results in the Champions League have meant that there is a distinct possibility that there's not a very big double still to come. Because if it goes as it currently is and we see Manchester City and Spurs and Chelsea and Liverpool all knocked out of the Champions League, probably, sorry Newcastle fans, but I'd probably bracket Newcastle in with that as well. They're less important in the grand scheme of FPL though. And that we only see Arsenal progress. The way that the FA Cup has gone as well, it could easily mean that those teams just slot back into the week, midweek that follows 34, and we don't therefore see blanks and doubles. Maybe we see one or two, well, it would be two with Arsenal, but otherwise we could just see it slotting back, and we saw that a lot last year as well. So there is then that caveat that comes with all of this, that is, by the time we get into going into game week 32, we will have those answers. We will have the answers to the Champions League question by Wednesday night this week. We will have the FA Cup answers by the time we're heading into 32. Mm. And so at that point, we have the luxury of being able to know roughly what the rest of the season looks like. We might not know exactly where things are slotting, but we will know roughly.
You're keeping Haaland then, are you, by the sounds of it? You seem happy to stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, Danny's saying it in the chat, right? One non-penalty goal in 13 game weeks for Haaland. It's what it is. I mean, you go with the stats. The reason it was uncomfortable, I wasn't uncomfortable because of the player or the performance. I was uncomfortable because of the ownership.
Yes.
That's what got me. And in the end, one of the swingers that made me sell Haaland in the end is actually Ekitike's got high ownership.
Yep.
And there was a lot of people going from Haaland to João Pedro.
Yep.
Well, I get it, because João Pedro's ownership is high as well, right? So you're just taking out one high ownership player for another. So yes, Haaland, not having Haaland's uncomfortable, but for a few weeks, not having João Pedro, as you witnessed last week, not having João Pedro is pretty uncomfortable, isn't it?
Not having João Pedro is awful. And the easy thing for me to do is to do Haaland to João Pedro rather than trying to find money and do Kroupi instead.
Yeah.
However, I don't have a wild card.
Mm.
So what happens if on Tuesday night when Manchester City play, Haaland does get back in amongst the goals and we start to see a resurgence from him, and then we go into the League Cup final at the weekend and he scores goals again and we see a resurgence from him again? At that point, what am I, as a non-wildcard, like for you, I could see it. I could understand it more because I was looking at it thinking, well, yes, the West Ham game is a risk, but you're going from a player with a good fixture to another player with a good fixture. I was worried about Ekitike's start, but I could see the risk was worth doing because you can wildcard him back in again relatively easy straight after if that's what you wanted to do. But for me, if I was to remove Haaland and shift budgets around rather than just leaving the money in the bank, I've then got a real big question mark as to, well, how do I reverse this later?
Okay, yeah. Well, listen, at the moment, he's not justifying anywhere near his price. Not that we need the money anywhere else.
No.
But I have to say that at the moment, when I look at what my game week 32 wildcard draft might look like, there's an awful lot of money in the bank.
Yeah, I bet there is.
There's an awful lot of money in the bank. But that might be okay, because if I do go without Haaland in 32, I might want that money there as a bit of an emergency, right? If that ends up being a mistake and people without wildcard hold him through like you do and suddenly he finds form and in 33, 34, he's looking like a buy, I'll have the money in the bank to do it. I'll have to decide who to take out, right? But at the minute, the forwards are outside of João Pedro. And I know he's blank this week, but he's looked good, hasn't he? We've got to wait to see what Thiago looks like tomorrow. Ekitike's looked all right, but, you know, benched, rotated, Liverpool look crap. It's like, well, who are we going to have? So it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. Let's go back to our, apparently I missed a super chat ages ago. Let's have a look. God,
was it because you were faffing with the fixture ticker, probably?
Absolutely was, because I was trying to fix the fixture ticker. God is love, which is John Tyner. Hey, John, nice to see you, mate.
Hey,
nice to see you. Hey, Sam and Lee, how are you both doing after the Bombfield derby? Mate, we're getting to it. We will get there. Don't you worry.
We're all right. We're not like...
Yeah, we're fine. Yeah, we're fine.
Unusually fine.
Difficult to have a row in a game that crap, to be honest with you. Got 50 with Kelleher left, John says. 128k Green Arrow up to 1.2 million. Mate, that is good.
There you go.
That is good, mate. You've got more than enough of a foundation there to finish with half-decent rank, mate. So very good. Very good. And thank you for being a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel for 18 months.
And one of our patrons as well.
And one of our patrons. Lots and lots of love from John. So thank you, mate. Thank you very much. But yeah, we are doing okay. We're going to talk about the FPL Family
Derby.
We're
sorry for missing your super chat. It's because Lee didn't do his job properly.
That's correct. Yeah, it's correct.
I'm really joking.
That's fine. I didn't. You're right. And when we get to the pictures with the game week players on it.
Don't worry about their faces.
Don't worry about the faces. We might not even point the problem out.
They're in fancy dress.
Great. Okay, good.
They're at a fancy dress party. They're dressing up as their favourite Premier League player.
I think chat finds it like, you know, it's like a little game, isn't it? It's like the quiz.
Yeah, it's just spot the mistake.
Yeah, spot the mistake.
Doesn't
matter. There's a few this week, guys.
No, there isn't. There's one slide that's got a mistake on it. I made another new graphic today.
Okay.
So, you know,
okay, but don't take the piss out of my fixture ticker.
Yeah, but I am going to, because it is quite funny. The best thing about it was how long it took you to notice that it was wrong. And you were sitting there talking. Anyway, let's not talk about it, because we said we're going to get to our teams quicker tonight.
It's not happening, is it?
Should we talk about Liverpool yet, or you know?
West Ham, no?
Oh, yeah, all right, West Ham. Go on. Thought they missed Somerville a bit.
Missed Somerville? I just thought they were great.
Yeah, but I think...
They were great.
They were fantastic.
Talk about an improvement over the last few weeks. Sensational stuff.
There's massive improvement. And you can really feel that they're Nuno's team now. You see the defensive security.
Well, it's in Nuno's DNA, isn't it, to be defensive?
Yeah, we saw the defensive security that he used to have at Forest, right? Appearing.
100%.
Yeah, I thought West Ham were great. But I did think that they missed Somerville. I think he has that... You know when there's a new player to the league and he comes in and he's good and the other teams don't really know what to do with him because they haven't learned how to cope yet. I feel like that's what we've been seeing with Somerville over the last sort of month, 8 weeks or so. We've had this like real burst of him being really good and really important. And I did think that without him that they just lacked a little bit of that sparkle. And maybe the XG numbers in this game for West Ham were a little bit of a kind of pointer to that, maybe. But I liked watching it. I thought West Ham were good. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't have any West Ham players. Somerville was my target this week. He was the one. And that's why I think I struggled this week, because my transfer was always going to be Rice to Somerville. That was always my planned transfer this week. Even despite the Man City game, because I just felt like Man City's defence hasn't really been that solid and West Ham have got so much to fight for and he was so good. And the injury just meant I kind of went, don't know what to do now.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, they only have one shot all match, right, West Ham? But they made it count, the Mavropanos header, which is a fantastic header. And I agree with what Azzy's saying in the chat, right? Azzy's saying, shout out to Debo as well. Yeah, Mavropanos will for sure. And he did on the game when it was on TV, because he gets the goal. Because of a couple of minutes before they're about to announce the manager and the player of the match, he gets smashed in the face by a Haaland shot. See that?
Have you seen the still of it?
Absolutely. The ball's smashes like him in the face. So of course, like, you know, at that moment, Sky are talking about who they're going to give player of the match, and they're just like, oh well, he got in the way of that Haaland one and he scored the goal, it's got to be Mavropanos. And yeah, listen, he was great, but Azzy, you're spot on, mate, because Tadebo was very, very good as well. Defensively, West Ham, here we go, because I've got some stats on my phone here. I'm off the bench on Tuesday, have you noticed? So there will be some stats tonight, actually.
Well, there hasn't been so far, and we're 35 minutes
that's
in.
Because I've been fixing stuff. But there will be some stats. Here's the first one. West Ham have conceded 0 or 1 goals in 7 of their last 9 Premier League games. So there you go. Nuno, defensive DNA is absolutely clicking at West Ham right now. Very, very good. Let's have a look at the... you can tell. Whenever I'm off the bench, and I'm off the bench Tuesday with Az. Oh, Az has had another great one, hasn't he?
You're waffling again. Can we get on?
Oh, come on. Can we just tell him Az's story? He put it on Twitter. It's out there.
We've had some interesting chats in our group chat this weekend.
Munoz, auto sub for Goodmanson. Oh my God, Ass. He's on a generational run. Absolutely generational. Anyway, so I'm off the bench with Az on Tuesday. And because of that, I've got a load of stats on my phone ready to go. So we'll hear a few of them tonight and I'll repeat them on Tuesday. What was I talking about? West Ham. Aston Villa away and then Wolves at home next, then Palace away, Everton. So are they improving enough where you'd want to go for a Villa? Well, for a West Ham?
Definitely not Villa, but West Ham.
West Ham?
Yeah, I mean, look, okay. I think if you've got a forward slot and you fancy a bit of a punt on Jarrod Bowen, why not? These are the teams, right? They've got stuff to fight for. They're fighting for Premier League survival. These are the teams that you should be investing in part. The ones that have got something that they really... Because that is the thing in these last few weeks. You want teams that have to keep playing, have to keep trying. And within those teams, obviously pick sensibly. Like, despite what you've just said about them not having conceded that many goals recently, I wouldn't be that keen to get a defender from West Ham because we, again, despite what we saw this weekend, we haven't really been seeing many attacking returns out of their defensive options. It's been the Somervilles and the Bowens that you would have been interested in.
Well, Wan-Bissaka got forward light in that game. They just sort of, I haven't got any stats to back that up. But,
Back in the biscuit tin?
I don't know about that, but he's caught my eye. You know.
Maybe. I think West Ham are interesting. I do think they're an interesting team to have a look at. And they are the sort of differentials that could do well for us in the final weeks.
All right, very good. Let's move it on to today then. Liverpool 1, Spurs 1. Off you go.
Is that what we're going to... You want me to start?
Right, but because when I start, I won't stop. So it's best that you go first.
Okay. I was really worried about today. I was really worried about today. We didn't have any fit players. And when I saw the Spurs team, I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. That's a weird formation. Why has he dropped Xavi Simmons again?
Two up top. Unusual.
Two up top is very unusual. We never see that at Spurs. But all right, let's go with it. Were we brilliant? No. Was it a great game of football? Absolutely not.
No.
Did we deserve something out of the game? Yes.
Yes.
Could we and probably, if anyone was going to have won the game, would it have been Spurs? Yes.
Be careful with that one.
Yes.
Careful
if
with that
one. If anyone
was
going to win that game, it was going to be us.
As usual, bloody Spurs fans. You did deserve a point. You didn't deserve any more than that. Please, come on. Let's don't overstretch yourself again. Come on. Come on. Deserved a point. That's good. You take that.
If anyone was going to win that game, it would have been us.
Oh, please. Come on.
No. Come on. Would have been. I thought Slot got it wrong.
Slot got it wrong?
With the lineup.
Go on then.
I don't think Cody Gakpo can play up top. I don't think he's very good, Lee, as a number nine.
You don't think Cody Gakpo is very good?
As a number nine.
As a number nine only, okay.
No, I'm not going to say he's not very good at all. He's a Premier League footballer. I'll show him some respect. But as a number nine, when you've got Ekitike who's fit and available, and I understand totally that you've got midweek, and the midweek is really important because you have to turn that round. I get it. But there was a little bit of disrespect, I think. There was a little bit of Dr. Tottenham are in town. We don't need Salah and Ekitike. They can have a rest.
Maybe, yeah.
So I think he got that wrong. I think had he started Ekitike with the positions that you got into at the beginning of the game, and particularly in the first half, you could easily have been 2-0 up, 3-0 up, and then we're dead and we don't come back from it. But you leave it at 1-0. And the problem is when you leave a game at 1-0 is that you always leave the opportunity for the opposition to come back into it.
Oh, we do. That's a fact.
I know. That's what I've just said.
Even at 2-0, we'll leave the opportunity to come back into it. Don't worry about that.
Maybe. But I think from a Spurs perspective, look, there was for the first time in ages today, I saw some fight. I saw a little bit of passion. Now, mostly that's thanks to blimmin' Richarlison, who I know is the bane of your life because he's ex-Everton and everything else. And I know the Liverpool fans hate him. To be honest, half the time I hate him as well. However, he turns up and he does... At least he might pigeon around the pitch, but he does give some grit and some effort, and he cares. Yeah. And he's out there and he's trying. And Danso was out there, and given it's a makeshift back four again, Danso's out there trying. Dragosin actually I thought was all right. He was out there trying. Vicario's made a few mistakes. He's clearly nervous. It's not great, but he's trying. They're trying. They're actually making some effort today, and I'm here for it. I still wouldn't invest in Spurs from an FPL perspective.
No,
I have got Van der Ven. I will play him next week against Forest. He better not get sent off again. And hopefully this is going to be another one of his massive hauls because Spurs win the game and then I'm happy and everything's all right.
A couple of very good performances, I thought. Richarlison, you're right to point out. I thought Spence was good. Every time I watch Spence, I'm like, he's decent.
He is
decent.
And not from an FPL perspective. Absolutely not. Maybe not. And Archie Gray. I honestly think that Archie Gray has borderline been our player of the season. He's been phenomenal. He's been asked to play in about 8 different positions. One time, they're going to give him the goalie gloves and say, can you play him between the sticks? And he'll do it. Because
for a youngster, he's
it's incredible what he does.
Future captain?
Yeah.
Could be, couldn't it? Yeah. No doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't invest in Spurs. Absolutely not.
Right.
Liverpool. I'll let you speak in a minute. I have two Liverpool assets. I have Virgil and I have Szoboszlai.
Get in Szoboszlai today. You'd be happy with that. What's that, 11-pointer?
11-pointer. I tell you what, I was happy with that. Well, I wasn't happy when he scored. I thought, you idiot. Why have you done that? But at least it was him.
And because he played right back, he got the DEFCON as well.
He got DEFCON.
Yeah.
Got some bonus. So it was decent from Szoboszlai today. So that's good. Virgil, it's interesting, isn't it, with Virgil? Because he's been brilliant some weeks with the double-digit hauls that we've had. But the problem with Liverpool is I never really feel that confident of a clean sheet with you lot. Like,
no, that's just understatement.
Like, and you're spending quite a lot of money on somebody like Virgil. Like, so you would hope that, like, if you're paying sort of almost Arsenal levels of money, that you'd get Arsenal levels of clean sheet. But you just don't really. You have to rely on the attacking returns. Now, to be fair, he could have had one today. There were a couple of opportunities where Virgil was up there from Szoboszlai corners and free kicks and stuff. And maybe could have, on another day, one of them goes in. So I'm happy to hold both of my Liverpool assets. The bigger question is, am I going to treble up?
Okay.
And I don't think I am.
Liverpool fixtures from now on. Of course, they do have the game in 31, Brighton away. Fulham at home in 32, followed by the Merseyside derby, Palace at home, Man United, Chelsea, Villa and Brentford. So from game week 35 to 37 looks tasty as hell, doesn't it? With Liverpool against Man U, Chelsea and Arsenal in that fight for who can be the least crap in the top four, at least in four and five. United fans will be happy with the win again. But Villa, Chelsea and Liverpool vying it out to be the least crap team to get into the Champions League. In the short term, Liverpool look all right, don't they? I think you'd probably hold, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Oh, I'm holding Szoboszlai and Virgil. The question I think is more, do I go and get an Ekitike as well? I just don't think I will. I think with, obviously, the midweek game is really, really important, and what happens in that will kind of shape what happens with the rest of your season.
All right.
So I think I'm happy to just hold my two. At that moment, Lee, I'm going to pause and I'm going to just listen to what you've got to say.
Oh, yeah. It's just utter shit. It's utter shit.
Is that what you're going to start with?
It's just bollocks, isn't it? It's absolute bollocks. Now, the first thing is that I think with Igor Tudor, he changes the formation so much, you don't know what he's going to do. Like, when I saw the lineups today, I thought two things. One, I thought, oh, Solanke and Richarlison, that's different. He's not tried that before.
Well, he's an idea. So
the one thing you will say about Tudor is he so fucking doesn't know what he's doing that when you come up against Spurs, you don't know what he's going to do. Like, how can you prepare to play Spurs right now? You can't.
Well, you can't. Right? I mean, we had 14 first-team players out today. I think that's why we played what we did.
Whatever. So anyway, you don't know how to prepare for Spurs because he don't know what he's doing. So literally anything could happen. But nevertheless, you couldn't put a team together. He said that in the press conference. He's struggling to get an 11 together. I'm going into today. I've bought in Virgil and I've bought in Ekitike and my FPL. And I've gone in on Liverpool because I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Spurs at home, we should be pissing this. No problem, we should be pissing it. But what was the other thing I said to you? When I saw the lineups, the first thing I said was, oh, Richarlison and Solanke, that's interesting. What was the second thing I said? Look at that Liverpool lineup.
Yeah.
You got chance. And we were sitting with your parents and they both went, no, it'd be silly. God. And your dad in particular was just like, are you mad? Liverpool going to absolutely storm roll Spurs today. And I said, no, they've got a chance. And you had a chance. Because look at that team. And look at the way it was set up. Look at the arrogance of the team. Look at the arrogance of Slot to drop your right, Salah and Ekitike for that team. Look
arrogant.
At the arrogance.
Yeah.
For
it was disrespectful.
For it to be like, right, Spurs are turning up on the back of one win in 14 and they got no team.
Yeah.
And I know it's Galatasaray coming up, but the arrogance was unreal, right? And don't give me this, he's got to rotate his squad and all the rest of it, right?
No, he didn't have to do that today.
The one thing I will say is that I thought Rio was really good on the left.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But even in saying that, that's another shortcoming of Slot because he's persisted with Gakpo for so long on that left-hand side. And we all know Gakpo's a one-trick pony. He cuts inside and shoots on his right foot. He had one opportunity against Spurs on his left foot where he absolutely blasted it into Kop first half.
Oh, yeah.
So he can only come in and shoot on his right-hand side. So why would you put him in the nine? Because
it was awful.
Not only is he a one-trick pony off the left, you put him in the middle. He can't do that. He's rubbish, right? Gakpo is rubbish, right? Rubbish. He's done. So Britain, Rio. Now, Rio, actually, when I look at my stats that I've prepared for off the bench on Tuesday.
Oh, no.
So we completed 12 dribbles as a team against Liverpool, 12 dribbles against Spurs, and Ingemar was 7 of them. So over half of the dribbles was Rio, and he only attempted 7 dribbles. So every time Rio attempted a dribble, he beat his man. He completed that dribble.
Yep.
So he was dangerous on that side.
He was really
now,
good.
Now, Spence pocketed Frimpong on the other side. So all of our attack was coming down the left-hand side with the young lad who I told you was a little bit out of his depth, Souza. He did all right against Rio. He did all right. And then he pocketed Gap. Notice when he played against Gakpo, no problem at all, right? Because Gakpo's rubbish. But Rio had the beat in the Souza on that side, as I thought he would. So all the threat was coming down that side. But just the complete arrogance of Liverpool and the complete sleepwalking bullshit that we have to put up with time and time again. And it was the first time that Sky, Jamie Carragher, has used that phrase, sleepwalking. He used it 3 or 4 times during comms. I should have trademarked that 9 months ago. Because I've been using that for about 9 months.
Last season you started using that.
Back end of last season, after we won the league, we were sleepwalking through crap results. Yeah. And we won the league. So we're all like, that's fine, boys. If you're going to sleepwalk, at least do it when you've won a trophy.
And also,
no problem.
You wouldn't sleepwalk to a defeat or a draw. You'd sleepwalk just to let people back into the game and lose the clean sheet.
Yeah. But now we are seeing it time and time and time again. And I've sat here week after week, and I've been probably more of a slot in and a slot defender than most, right? You look at Liverpool on X, most want him gone.
Right.
And I am not, and in the past, I haven't felt like that. But this is now, this is a systematic problem now, right? If it happens once or twice, happened against Fulham when they scored a belter from outside the box. It's happened against Wolves where the dude just, we let him shoot and he got a deflection. It went in. And so you could say it's been a little bit unlucky. But your goal today was not unlucky. Your goal wasn't a deflection. It wasn't a wonder strike. It was a well-worked goal that Spurs worked and deserved to score. This is now a systematic problem, right? So you can't just say it's the players having an off day or someone's having a brain fart or Joe Gomez is shit. This is a systematic problem. And that lies with the manager. Right, it lies with the manager. And for the first time in a long time, I now am slot out, and I do think he needs to go. Now, whether he goes now or whether he goes in the summer, I don't know. Personally, I would give him till the summer, and then you've got to think about maybe getting Xabi Alonso and see what happens. But this team, it's just not functioning. It's just not working, and it's his job to make it work. So he's got to go. Got to go. This is just such a terrible result. 1-1 against Spurs. I'm sorry, but it is, isn't it? It is. Now, listen, I'm right. So, first thing, Spurs deserve to win. I don't want Spurs to go down. I know X is, all the Arsenal fans and even the non-Arsenal fans are all over X. Oh, it'd be really funny if Spurs go down. I don't think it'd be funny if Spurs go down. I think they're a Premier League institution and I want them in the Premier League. And it'd be terrible for us at FPL Family to have you sitting here not talking about your team every week, right? The banter levels would drop. I want Spurs in the Premier League. Don't get me wrong. I want it to win today. But I want Spurs in the Premier League. But we got to win that today. Just got to win it.
Yeah. You should.
Like, what the hell?
On form and on player availability and all of those things, you absolutely should have smashed us today. I was really worried about the game because I thought Fulham couldn't beat Forest.
Sleepwalking.
West Ham have got a point against Man City. And we've got to play Liverpool. And we've got no players. And they've got all their... most of their players fit. And then I saw the team and I thought, there's no respect there. He's given us a chance. That team, without Salah, without Ekitike, with Szoboszlai playing at the back, no Gomez, like...
I hope it gives you now...
I hope it does
now
too.
Now that I've digested it and realised that I can't change the result, I hope now that it gives Spurs a springboard to go and beat Forest and stay in the league. But what I will say is... it doesn't make Igor Tudor the right manager. I still think you should sack him, by the way. It doesn't mean that Spurs are now back, right?
God, no, it doesn't, no.
And it doesn't mean that now Forest is just an easy game, right? Forest will give you way more of a game than we did today. It's probably your easiest game of the season today.
No,
oh, shit.
That's Brentford. Sorry, George.
God.
We've got 4 points out of them. They've been kind.
But anyone thinking, oh, Spurs have got
that.
A point at Anfield, they're going to stay up.
Nobody
I
thinks
still
that.
Think you've got a lot of work to do because that today... was dreadful.
The game next week is the critical one. After that, life should get easier because we have the 3-week international break. And over that break, we should get a chunk of players back from injury. And they will then be available for 32 till the end of the season. And that is critical.
Yeah.
So we have to go now. We have to use Wednesday night as an opportunity to play, to understand, to work on what we're doing.
We have to beat Forest.
And we have to go into Sunday's game. I tell you what, I am... I don't know if I'm nervous, excited, terrified, or what for going there on Sunday. I don't know how I feel about it, but Sunday is vital. It is absolutely vital.
God, yeah. God, yeah. Anyway, I want to move on. Rubbish. Rubbish. Honestly,
so you're going to hold your Liverpool assets, though, clearly, before we move on.
Well, I'm not taking them out ahead of 31, am I? I've got other things. I've got City and Arsenal problems. But in 32, on the wild card, we'll have to see, won't we? Mm. We'll have to see. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, if you've got Szoboszlai, well done, because he's the only one that come out of it with any credit, as usual. Now, my biggest concern is that when we're in the middle of negotiating his contract, if I was him, would I want to stay there after that? Absolute shit, Sam, honestly. Terrible. Too much, when you do the inside training videos, right? As I've said before on here, a lot of times, I watch a lot of the behind the scenes. You should see the bloody training facility. Oh, they're all having a lovely latte and having a sit around, have a nice time. Get on the training pitch, do some work. Joke, absolute joke. Honest slot, get it together. Terrible. Right, onwards.
Where are we going now?
System.
Man United.
God, this is not going to calm me down anymore, is it? Man United 3, Aston Villa 1. The only thing that's making me think that we still do have a chance, even as crap as we are, getting a Champions League spot, is because Villa are worse. Right? It's like, we're bad, but Villa look even worse. Or was this a case of United doing a good job? Because come up trumps again, right? Carrick at the wheel. He's doing a great job.
They massively overperformed their XG. Manchester United. Their XG was not as high as their three goals suggests it should have been. Bruno was good again. Bruno is excellent. I think he's excellent. I think if you went for Mbomo a few weeks ago, you're probably a bit annoyed now, aren't you?
Because, yeah, especially with Cunha popping up
today. Yeah, yeah. Because at that point when you would have gone there, he was really looking good. He was really important. He was making, getting the assist, scoring the goals. It looked vital. And then today, obviously, he goes off for Sesko, who then comes on and scores one of the goals.
I tell you what, I said it a few weeks ago. Sorry to interrupt you. It's me that does the waffling, you're right.
I don't know!
I said a few weeks ago how much I rate Sesko. Just more and more got just love for this guy. Like, I know he's United and I shouldn't.
7-9
but
now.
Listen, he doesn't moan.
You got that on your stats?
On the bench. I haven't actually. Starts, whether he's off the bench, comes on, scores goals. Right. And good, got like proper number nine goal, Sesko.
Yeah.
Great,
doesn't
right?
moan. Not moaning about being on the bench, coming on, doing a job.
But you can't have him in FPL because it's like...
Why not?
Good question.
Why not? He's got 7 goals in 9 games. Why can you not have him off the bench?
Just because you don't start. It's a fair comment.
I understand that we prioritise 90-minute men, and we should. Yeah. We should look at 90-minute men. And if it's a straight choice between a 90-minute man and Sesko, and they've both got the same sort of underlying stats, then absolutely you go for the 90-minute man all day long. However, I've got a borderline 90-ish minute man in Kroupi Jr. I would far rather have Sesko than I would have Kroupi Jr. right now.
Yeah.
Because when Sesko comes off the bench, 7 out of 9 times, I mean, that's not quite an accurate stat, because obviously one of the goals he did score when he started. But so 6 in 9 off the bench goals, that is a decent return. So why are we not?
Yeah, and as Jay Rich says in the chat, it's differential, right? No one's going for him because of that very reason.
Yeah.
The no 90 minutes. But
it doesn't seem to be mattering. Sometimes we overthink it, I think, and we go, oh, he's not guaranteed to start.
Not going
to
get the bonus, though, is he? Because he's only going to get he gets on.
But then compare it to who else you've got in that third forward slot. If you've got it's not going to be Thiago probably, because he's probably going to be your second. But if you've got a Kroupi, or you've got an Evan Nilsson, or you've got a Strand Larsen, or you've got, who else might you have in that slot? Mane, or you've got whoever, all of those that you've probably got in the third forward slot, even Raul Jimenez. Surely Sesko is a better pick than all of them.
Yeah. All right. Very good. That is now 10 double-digit hauls for Bruno this season. Absolutely sensational. And he's now assisted Casemiro 5 times. So there we go. I think Kane and Son did it a few more than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was another one of your extremes, wasn't it?
It's getting there, though, isn't it? It's getting there.
No, it's not getting
anywhere
near.
Kane and Son will soon be usurped by Bruno and Casemiro.
Do behave. Are you right? I mean, Casemiro's leaving at the end of the season. Why? Why are they letting Casemiro leave? It's madness.
Well, he's not a long-term future there, is he? But Ian Arf doing a good job at the moment, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
So Villa, though, I mean, if you've got a hold, haven't you? Well, a bit, but also like, I'm a bit, as an England fan, I'm a little bit concerned about both of their forms, actually. Him and
Don't
Watkins. Like, Watkins is a bit
Don't take either of them.
Would you get hauled off after just over an hour today after having like one shot on goal?
It's honestly, just like, I tell you what, good, if they don't buck their ideas up, I wouldn't take either of them to the World Cup. What's the point of them? They are pointless.
I don't know. You've got to take Rodgers, haven't you? But
why?
Well, so what? I don't want to talk too long about it because if you've got Villa, you've got hold. I mean, they've got a game in 31 and it's West Ham. Whether you'd want
West
to add
Ham will win.
To, well, maybe they do. But whether you'd want to add to what you've got in Villa, I highly doubt it.
No.
I just don't know. I can't put my finger on it other than no Tielemans. Is it straightforward as that?
Well, you would expect it to have been a bit better today because they had McGinn back and their players coming back. I don't think their XG was that bad. It wasn't that different from the Manchester United one, but they're just not clinical. They're not taking their chances.
Did you do a team XG?
Yeah.
Is it this one? Oh, there we go. Very nice. I use this for the first time. Arsenal top for XG, Bournemouth second, even without scoring, Man City third. I love these graphics. The podcasters will love it as well. Can't see it. But for you on YouTube, what a treat. What a treat. Who are we talking about?
Aston Villa.
Villa. 1.02 XG?
Where, and Manchester United?
Man United, 1.07?
Yeah, so not much difference.
Okay.
Across the game. But obviously Manchester United taking chances.
Yeah.
Martin Yeo. Blasting the plaster there for you all.
Very good. All right, let's move it on.
I'm not interested in any more Villa. And to be quite frank, as soon as the blank ends, I cannot wait to sell Morgan Rodgers.
Yeah, facts. Absolute facts. Pretty much every other game was boring, Sam. But we
Chelsea?
Are going to...
Chat on Chelsea?
Go on then, Chelsea
nil. I think we have to talk Chelsea because Chelsea are going to be a really popular team to invest in.
Well, so a Newcastle with decent fixture up next in 31. Anthony Gordon with the goal here. He's going to get a bit of love, isn't he? You'd think? But do Chelsea first. Go on.
Yes. All right, Chelsea first. So I very nearly went Jarp Hedger this week. I am very uncomfortable every time Chelsea play. I feel very uncomfortable.
There was quite a lot of memes on X about being marked safe from Jao Pedro this week, or I survived Jao Pedro this week, or something like that.
I do feel safe. Like that. That is, yeah, I do want to tick myself as still alive after Jao Pedro plays, yeah. And it's sort of similar to how I feel about the Chelsea defence as well, to be honest, like the goalkeepers and the likes
of... Well, defensively, they're all over the place. I've got a stat for that, Sam. Hold that thought. Got to find it. One clean sheet in 14. Defensive, all over the place. Can we also have... It is me that waffles.
I know,
it?
Lee.
It is.
It's not me.
I just noticed it throughout this thing. I've been way more conscious about it. I've been waffling. Can we please have a moment, though, for, despite the waffle, the Chelsea huddle at the beginning of the game? What are we making of this?
Right.
Go on, please. Get in the chat.
I have no issue with a team wanting to get in a huddle before the game. I have no issue with that. The boys do it on a Sunday morning at Grassroots. What I have issue with... is that you've got to do it round the ball to, and I quote, respect the ball.
The ball does
not need any respect.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't need to be in the middle of the circle, first of all. Second of all, the referee does not need to be in the middle of your circle. And, also, by the way, Chelsea, you cannot complain to PGMOL that the ref is in the middle of your huddle because you huddled around the ref. The ref's not asked for that. The ref's not gone, oh, Chelsea, come here and huddle around me. It's nonsense.
I thought it was nonsense of the highest order from Chelsea. The highest order. And what's great about it is they went on and lost the game. If they go on and win the game, then you can come out and you can say, well, whatever, we won the game. But instead he comes out and says about respecting the ball. It's like Liam with senior. What a knobhead. Like when he first come in, I quite liked him. I think I sat here, didn't I?
No.
Didn't I say? Well, I know you were sceptical, but when he first come in, I said, I quite like the way he talks. I like what he's saying. But as usual, with everything that touches Chelsea, he's turned into a knobhead.
No, I think he was a knobhead before, Lee. Because when he was out in France, I listened to some of his later press conferences just before he was going to come to Chelsea.
Oh, yeah?
He wasn't coming across particularly well at that point. And now he's talking about respecting the ball and complaining about PGMOL. Oh, look, I've just had a notification on my phone to watch the highlights of Liverpool versus Spurs.
Oh, don't do that.
That'll take a long time to watch that, won't it? It wasn't a very highlighty game. Yeah, look, I don't. I thought it was bonkers.
Palmer looking at the ref, like when they're doing the huddle, the ref's in the middle, and like Palmer's like looking at him. Do you remember when Palmer did that thing with Trump at the cup lift? It was like that, wasn't it?
He was just so cringe. Why are you here, ref? And the ref's just looking like, why am I here? What? Oh, go dear. And do your huddle anywhere else. Anyway, enough of the huddle. Chelsea are. I appreciate what you've just said about their defence not keeping clean sheets. However. They still punish if they do. And because they're quite heavily owned, the likes of Chalobah and Sanchez, there is always a worry in the back of my head that if Chelsea keep a clean sheet, it's going to be punishing.
It's going to hurt a little bit, yeah.
I've also sold Enzo, which I don't regret. I'm happy I sold Enzo. That's been positive. But I don't have a single Chelsea player on my team. And João Pedro, I have the fear of God every time he plays. In fact, I was more worried about him than anything else this week.
We only had one meaningful attempt in the game, which was like a late header. Was it a looping header?
Yes.
Outside of that...
Not a lot.
Nothing. I think he had three other shots. They were all blocked. So it was like, a bit meh, wasn't it? But you still want him, though? You're still thinking about transferring him in?
Yeah, because it's Everton up next in the blank game week. I do think it's a...
They've got Sunderland.
No, they've got Everton.
Oh, no, that's Newcastle got Sunderland. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They've got a derby. They've got Everton. And I think it's away at Everton, isn't it? I think they're away at Everton.
Let's have a look.
Which Everton aren't very good at home. They're far worse at home than they are away, which is weird because it was the reverse of that earlier on in the season.
Defensively, Everton all right, though. I know they're better away from home, but they're still not a joke at home.
If they don't have Tarkowski, will they be as good? I don't know. We'll have to see. But João Pedro feels like he's going to be he's going to be very popular this week. My suspicion is that most managers who move off Haaland this week, if they don't already have João Pedro, will get João Pedro. I am looking at him thinking that is a route to pain that I still need to close.
You might want to shut that down. And what about the tune then? Because like I mentioned a second ago, Sunderland at home, the big Geordie Mackham's derby in game week 31. And, this was their first, again, another little stat I wrote down. Where was it about the clean sheets? First clean sheet in 15 in all competitions for Newcastle. So I don't know if that gives me much hope for them defensively, although Sunderland have fallen off a bit of a cliff, haven't they? But I do want to give a shout out to Gordon because he has been right up there for FPL trial of the season, hasn't he? There's a few candidates for that, but he's right up there with his scoring 4 in the Champions League. People pile on and he does nothing for weeks in FPL.
Yeah, he's been good in the Champions League.
But he does seem to have, I think, that centre-forward spot more or less sewn up. I think he fancies him there and he's on pens and everything else. It's like Sunderland at home. There will be a few Rice to Gordons this week, won't there?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be interesting, won't it? Because they've got to go to Barcelona in midweek, which is not an easy game. Yeah, so don't forget that. Gordon missed the midweek game, the Champions League game, which I was annoyed about. I've got him in my Champions League team because he was ill. So he didn't play in that one because he was ill. So he got the midweek off last week and then obviously played the weekend. He's now got to play midweek again because they've done some of the hard work in terms of getting a draw out of the first leg, but they've got to go away now and try and win the game and take it into the next round.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be a difficult tie. I do think he seems to prefer to play him out of position up top rather than play the Voltimadas or the Wissers of this world. I don't really trust Newcastle, though.
Yeah.
And this is a
Nicole's
derby.
In the chat. She's saying Gordon is a risk. So I think it sounds like she agrees with you.
Yeah, and she's a Newcastle fan,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't really trust Newcastle. I feel like whenever I watch them, I never really know what performance I'm going to get from them, who I'm going to see start from them, how many minutes we're going to get out of them. As soon as Bruno Guimarães got injured, that's when my issues with Newcastle started.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's so vital and so important.
This
and
is a good result,
it changes
though.
The way. It's a very, very good result. But they lost against Sunderland in the reverse of this fixture earlier on in the season.
It's different Sunderland, though, wasn't it?
Let's see. I mean, it's a derby. Anything can happen in a derby. This is Sunderland's first time going to St James's Park in how long? Long time.
Yeah, they'll be up for this, the team.
Well, they will be.
Off the back of a result like that, they'll be up for this. So I think there's a...
But they've got to get through the Champions League in midweek first.
Okay. All right. Well, that will be what it will be. I think for those of us that are wildcarding game week 32, I think there's some interesting differential punts at Newcastle.
We're going to go Anthony Gordon.
Absolutely might do, yeah. 100% might do.
We don't do it till after the midweek round then, just to make sure.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're right. You've made your point. Barcelona first. Got it. You've said it a few times now. But listen, Sunderland at home in 31 with a wild card in 32. Yeah, go Gordon. Yeah, I'll go Malik Chow. Absolutely. Chow's back, I think, for next week, as far as I'm aware. Nicole will tell us otherwise, if not. But listen, Newcastle will be buoyed by that. And regardless of what happened at Barcelona, I think they're decent differentials to be had there against Sunderland at home. What else do you want to pick out of this boring menagerie of other games?
Nothing really.
Brighton 1-0, Minter, can't be bothered with that. Burnley 0, Bournemouth 0, apart from Senesi and Hill being DEFCON legends.
Have missed out by 1 point in DEFCON.
Well, yeah,
one
and
DEFCON.
He hit the post again, but he's point dodger extraordinaire. You know this, right? Palace 0, Leeds 0. Leeds shoot themselves in the foot with a DCL penalty miss and then getting a man sent off.
Yeah, and Goodmanson will be a frustration for players like Az, but also for managers that just needed him for next week. Because obviously he's going to be out for the midweek round now, for game week 31, the blank round, which is going to be a frustration for some managers because he's the sort of fifth mid... Oh God, speaks properly, Samantha. He's the sort of fifth defender that most managers do have and that will have wanted for the week. So if you've got Goodmanson, that's going to be a really difficult and annoying thing to have to deal with now.
If you've got a Palace defender, and Munoz owners aside, because he missed out today, isn't he?
But just
if you've got
a
Richards or you've got a Lacroix, I know there wasn't a Henderson today, but if you've got one of those other two, I feel like you're bang on the jam, aren't you? Because didn't another team miss a penalty against them last week or a week before and they got a clean sheet? Who was that? Can't remember. Palace defenders have definitely got more points than they should have had in the last couple of weeks.
Well, those two definitely have. But they're very lowly owned now. They're like back in the 2% brackets.
Yeah.
Whereas Dean Henderson not
Richards,
playing today.
Richards, 10-pointer today, Nick's saying in the chat. 10-pointer. Yeah,
yeah. But he's got only got 2% ownership or 2%. I think it's 2.6% for him and something like 4.5% for Lacroix. Henderson's the most. I think he's like 8.6. Obviously, he didn't play today. Munoz, I think he's 7.7. Yeah. Obviously, he didn't play today either. So it's not going to hurt you. But what it will do if you had either of the two that did play, that's a really nice boost.
Well, there we go. Yeah, Wolves, wasn't it? It was Strand Larson, Mr. Penn.
Oh, it was terrible.
Absolutely mad. FPL Harry, don't you come in here with any of that. Right, so honestly, have you ever known a man play a game like FPL Harry?
What? Hang on.
So many people, like, no one's got Richards, have they? Like you said, 2% owned, and he's DCL's Mr. Penn.
If you're going to have a go at Harry, you can stop right now.
I'm absolutely not, because this guy, this is why he's the GOAT. This is why he's FPL Harry. He's got Richards, of course he has. 10-pointer. He knew DCL was missing that pen.
No, he didn't.
He knew.
He's on the ski slopes this week, Harry.
Is he? Even when he's on holiday, he's getting a Richard 10-pointer. Unreal. Unreal. Hello, Harry. Hope you're well, mate. Hope you're well. That Richard 10-pointer.
He's not, because Chelsea lost. He's not happy about that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
He's less happy than you are. And you're miserable, old git.
Thanks very much.
Well, you are.
Thanks very much. I'm sure Harry is in a huddle right now as we speak, protecting the ball.
He's in a huddle around his skis. Just him on his own, huddling his skis, respecting them.
Respecting the ball. Respect the skis. So he's doing. They're all huddled around, respecting the skis. Just got bloody, who's the ref? The ref in the middle there, just like looking really awkward. Carl Palmer's there with it. What are we talking about?
It's you again.
I'm waffling. Let's get on with the bloody scores. Right, here we go. Right. My score this week, 56, with Thiago to go. Not too bad. Yeah, it's not too bad.
You can't say it's not too bad, it's like a 19% green arrow. You can't say it's not too bad.
It's okay. There's a lot of 2-pointers about, though. Look, Ekitike 1, João Pedro 2, Cement. So look, for the sake of the podcast, let me go through it. Verbruggen 7, very welcome. Very welcome. Thank you very much, Bart, for that one. Gabriel 9, which everyone's got. Virgil 2. The man, the myth, the legend, James Hill, in with an 8-pointer. Very nice. Got my captaincy right with Bruno Fernandes, 20. Semenyo 2, Rice 2, Enzo 2, Ekitike 1, João Pedro 2, and then Thiago to play. So, got my captaincy right, and I had a couple of bits of jam at the back, which I wasn't expecting with, Hill maybe I was expecting, but a Bart for Bruggen clean sheets point and 7 points was very good. So, really, in a week where points have been kind of hard to come by, right, there's not been a lot of the big FPL assets have really kind of come in. So, I feel like in a week where points are a bit sparse, to get a Verbruggen clean sheet, a Hill clean sheet, and get captaincy right, gets you a green arrow. Now, could it have been more? Yeah, maybe. I mean, when I looked at my team to start with, I did think I'm quite heavily geared towards Chelsea, right? Chelsea at home to Newcastle. I'm playing Enzo and João Pedro. So it's like, well,
yeah,
if they don't win, that's a problem. And they didn't, so it is a problem. But getting the captaincy right was big in a week where a lot have gone for a Liverpool player or for Haaland. So listen, that's my overall points now up at 1777. Game week rank just under 1 million. A rank change of 19%. 124k right now. So in a good position, given that a few weeks ago, like I say, I wanted to limp through to game week 31. And I feel like I've mostly green arrowed through to 31, so I'm pretty happy with it. I'm pretty happy. Let's have a look at me for next week.
Don't comment on the bench, everybody.
Spot the errors, guys. Spot the errors. It makes my fixture ticker look...
no, it doesn't.
look like not an issue whatsoever. Here's my team for next
They're
week.
They're in fancy dress, I told you.
Here it is. This is the team that I've been limping along with until game week 31. So as you can see, right, Semenyo, Gehi and Gabriel on the bench. Don't worry about the pitchers, but I have got Semenyo, Gehi and Gabriel on the bench. And I've got Rice in my team as well, right? So for the sake of the podcasters, my team currently for blank 31, the one that I'm just trying to get through with a semblance of respectability, is Dubravka, Tarkovsky, Virgil and Hill, Bruno, Enzo, somebody other than Rice, Rodgers, Ekitike, João Pedro and Thiago. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Clearly, we've got a whole round of Champions League fixtures
and Europa
to go.
League conference.
And all the other things. I have got... What have I got in the bank? I did see.
2 point something.
No, 3.7 in the bank, because obviously no Haaland anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
3.7 and two free transfers. So, current thinking is, probably I want to... I'm thinking about who I want to hold, right? And for value purposes, Gabriel.
Yeah.
And probably Semenyo. I've got a lot of money in Semenyo because I got in before he was cool. So I've got them two.
Oh God.
Rice, I've got a bit of money in as well.
Right.
So
do you want Rice after the blank?
Well, this is it. So Gehi is almost certainly going to be out for me.
Okay.
Gehi almost certainly is going to be out. And I think the other one is going to be Rice. I think it is going to be Rice. On the basis that, as you rightly say, I want the other two.
But you don't need to sell two.
I don't. I can just do one transfer. And I've got two.
Yeah.
So it depends on what Tarkovsky's going, doesn't it? So if he's fit, he'd probably start. If not, then I can afford to do something else.
But even if Tarkovsky's not fit, surely you would sell Tarkovsky.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And either Rice or Gehi, and you'd hold the other one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. So Rice to either Gordon or Wilson right now is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And then Gehi to... I don't know. I might have a look at a Chow. I might have a look at an Anderson or something like that. I don't know yet. I honestly don't know.
Who Fulham got?
Fulham have got Burnley home, haven't they? That's the whole reason everyone wants Wilson fit. Mm.
So Wilson was fit today, played.
Yeah, although Burnley have, you know, they're proving to be a little bit more stubborn the last couple of weeks, particularly this game week with that 0-0. Whereas I think Sunderland look a bit cooked, don't they? I think Newcastle could...
It's a derby, Lee. I think derby's always...
You've got to stop saying it's a derby. Like, yes, it's a derby. What does that mean? Sunderland are going to beat Newcastle? I know. They'll be just as up for it, Newcastle. If they're coming off the back of a 1-0 win against Chelsea.
Well, they might be coming off a massive smash into Barcelona.
Yeah, they might. But I just listen, the Toon Army will get them up for that. No doubt about it. No doubt.
Nicole didn't seem as confident as you are about Newcastle.
Maybe I'm just looking too much into it because I want options for game week 31. But my feeling is more against... My feeling for Newcastle is less... I'm buzzing to get Newcastle. It's more, I want to target Sunderland. I think Sunderland are cooked. I think they're done. I think they're done. I think they're finished.
All right.
Everyone's going, no Mukiele. I think that's the tip of the iceberg. I think the rest of it's rubbish as well. So that's my team as it is. Two free transfers to do something. I'm not averse to a hit as well, if it makes sense. But
I don't think you need a hit.
I don't think it needs it. And it's kind of okay. It's kind of okay. Your team this week, 67 points. So also very good, with Thiago still to go. Talk us through it, because there's a couple of stars of the show in there, right?
Yeah, and it's weird, isn't it? Because this week I genuinely was stressed about this week. We did Sky, I didn't know what I was doing. We went out for dinner on Friday night, we had a little date night, because I thought we might get divorced today.
You were properly stressing.
And I was really stressed, and I couldn't decide what to do. And I was like, I'm just going to leave it again. I kept missing price rises, and we got to Sky, and talking to the producer, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. He was like, what team do you want me to show? It's like, the one I've got here, because I don't know what I'm doing. And then we got all the way, we were on the tube. And I was like, and I said to Evie, like, the tube in a minute is going to disappear inside. And once it does, I'll lose signal. So I have to decide right now. And in the end, I just was like, right, I'll just get to having it and be done with it. I don't regret that. I'm actually pleased I made that decision in the end. Like, I do feel a little bit unlucky that it didn't get
that's
one, ballsy, one more.
That's ballsy, by the way, taking Rice out before
Everton at
home.
I
thought that was ballsy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but again, Lee, this was another one of these, like, I've been saying I don't rate him, and Arsenal fans don't come at me, because I'm not saying I don't rate him as a player, but in FPL, he's not been good for weeks now. Same as Morgan Blimmin Rodgers. And I just got to a point where I was like, he's got a blank next week. I don't want him after the blank. So just get rid now, because Everton can be solid when they want to be. Anyway, so I got rid. So for the podcasters, Dubravka in goal with six. Very welcome, that was.
Yeah.
Virgil and Gehi with the 2 points each is meh. But Gabriel with nine, Senesi with 10.
Had a chance, didn't he, Gehi? Had their best chance towards the
right
end.
Right at the end.
Yeah.
Virtually the last touch. What I wouldn't have given for that Gehi goal to go in, not just from an FPL perspective, but from a Spurs perspective, that would have been delightful.
West Ham not getting a point.
Never mind. So the defence actually coming up trumps with Gabriel Sanesi and Dubravka. Happy with those three in particular. Virgil, I absolutely don't mind him only getting two this week because it meant we got a point. So that's important.
Yep.
Semenya with two. Bruno captain with 20. That was lovely. Tav got three. Fine. Szoboszlai in with the 11.
Nice. That's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference.
That's a nice difference maker. Haaland with two. And then obviously Thiago still to play the bench. Roofs didn't play again, although he is suspected to be back for the derby. So let's see what happens there.
Okay.
I'll probably still play Dubravka anyway, to be honest. But I could play Roofs. We'll see. Rodgers with two. Krupa with two. And then obviously Van de Ven was suspended. So got nothing in this one. But yeah, 67 up to 1.6, which is my highest rank so far this season. So
a
feeling
very good game week rank of 105k. Yeah. So up 25%. Very, very good indeed. 2.2 million in the bank, four free transfers, having spent one on Rice to Tavernier, which has worked out and of course gives you a player for game week 31. So let's have a look at your team for 31 then. Talk us through that.
So I got sorted on my own team out, didn't I? So my graphic's fine. I've got Gabriel, Semenyo and Gaye currently sat on the bench. Obviously, in my starting 11 for next week, I've still got Haaland. So I'm currently have 10.
You've got 10, same as me.
The same as you. So my team for next week, Dubravka currently in goal with a back three of Virgil, Sanesi and Mickey, the hero of Van de Ven. And then the midfield four, Szoboszlai, my arch nemesis, Morgan Rogers, Bruno Fernandes, who currently wears the captain's armband, and then Tavernier. And then obviously Haaland, who's not going to play, alongside Thiago and Krupa Jr., who again is a little bit of a risk because you never really know if Krupa Jr. is going to start or
you're very heavily geared towards Bournemouth in this team, aren't you?
Yes. My plan was never to hold Krupa Jr. My plan was to take some of the money that I was reinvesting from elsewhere and use it to change out Krupa. Now ideally what I would like to do is make Krupa João Pedro. I don't have the money to do that right now because I think if I did I would have done that for this one. I don't have enough money to do that, so I wouldn't have needed to have made another transfer last week, so that would have been three of the four used, and I felt like my team didn't really feel like it needed three transfers for this week. I value them more going into the blank and then coming out of the blank, so we just have to be really conscious of what I'm doing over the next couple of weeks, especially going into game week 32.
Because your team, it's in pretty good shape. I think if you can come into 32 when a lot of others are going to be playing the wild card and you've got three or four in the bank, transfers in the bank, that puts you in a pretty good position against the wild carders.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, looking at my team for this week, I could just make one free transfer, either take out, but I'll probably Gaye here, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I want to stay invested in the Manchester City defence, especially as there's a good chance that they don't double if they go out of the Champions League, which looks likely now, given the result in the first leg.
And if you do take Gaye out, I'm interested in who you have got on your radar, because I've gone, I'm looking at Fulham and Newcastle, but that is because it's a 1 week. It could be a 1 week punt and I could just bin him on 32. But whoever you get for Gaye, you've got to think a bit more longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? The problem we've got slightly is that the defenders aren't, they're not great. Nobody's really great defensively. Mm-hmm. The only team I'd want to double up on potentially defensively are Arsenal. And obviously they blank, so I'm not going to be doing that. I think I'll probably come down in price from Gaye because he's still quite valuable to me and my team. So I'll probably bring him down in price. Look at a cheaper option that's around for this week that will also be useful in a bench boost week. So I've got to really spend some time looking at what my bench boost options might be in 33, 36, whenever we think there might be a double. And again, I'm at the point where I'm starting to think that the way the Champions League is going, I think there is a serious case for us not getting as many doubles as we think we might.
But it ends up being a bit underwhelming.
It might be a bit of a damp squib. We need to have a little think about that. But I do think coming down, I don't see the value in the really expensive assets. But I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be punty with it because, like you said, you could take a punt on a Newcastle defender if you fancy them for a clean sheet. Mm. I would have to be quite sure that I wanted them longer term. Like in an ideal world, Leeds' fixtures are great. between now and the end of the season, you could go for a cheap, but you can't go Goodmanson now because he just got a red card. So I'm going to have to really spend this week kind of thinking about that, looking at the defences.
It's definitely not a week to do anything knee-jerky. Yeah, there will be people that want to do that, but it's... I think you have to, don't you?
I'm just going to be calm. Just going to be calm. But Gaye, I think of the four that I still have, I can't see me set. Well, Gabrielle and Semenya are definite holds, both of them.
Okay.
So it's going to be just what do I do around the edges, and I think it'll probably be Gaye that I sell because to be honest,
you said Gabrielle and Semenya
are holds.
So Haaland's not a definite hold for you.
No, I think he is really. Right. I think he really all is. Right. I think Gaye will be the one. Because I think if I was to reinvest in Manchester City's defence after the blank, again, a bit like with Rice, I think I'd look at somebody else instead, whether it be a Nico O'Reilly or an Ait Nouri or okay. even Donnarumma in goal. I think I would prefer that over Gaye.
Okay. All right, well, there we go. Decent decent scores all round, I would say, and green arrows, so pretty good. We'll wait to see whether Thiago can improve that for us both tomorrow, or maybe there's a Dango hat-trick and it goes a little bit south. But generally speaking, been a pretty good week, isn't it? Pretty good week. Spurs get a point, green arrows all round. It's just my bloody team. And I'm sorry for that rant earlier if I got a bit out of control, but I'm emotional about my team. I care about my team, and I just... don't like to see the way it's going. The amount of goals that we give away in the sort of last 10 minutes of games, it's just criminal. It's criminal. We've got to stop doing it.
On a positive from your side, Villa and Chelsea both lost. So you picked up a point on your rivals. And
I suppose that's how we've got to look at it.
You've got to take the positive from it. And you've helped your second favourite Premier League team.
Yeah, I don't want to see you go down. Of course I don't want to see you go down. Absolutely not.
Now we've both got to go into Champions League week in midweek and try and do something.
Yeah.
We've got to try and turn the dial.
All right, so what's coming up this week? I'm off the bench, aren't I, Tuesday?
You are indeed off the bench. You will be off the benching on Tuesday with... Did Az actually have a good week, or is he just... Is the -2 the tip of a bad iceberg?
Do you know what? I think he's got quite a lot of Brentford. So ask him tomorrow, this time tomorrow.
All right.
I think he's got Dango, Callagher and Thiago.
Has he?
I think so.
Blimey, O'Reilly.
So
he's on for a bit of a shocker at the minute and hoping for a Brentford win.
He's a bit below par at the moment, yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. Az and Lee will be off the benching this week. I will be recording the FPL pod, I think, immediately after the Spurs Champions League game. I think I've got to drive home and go straight on a record on Wednesday night.
The traffic's not too bad.
That is a problem, potentially. And also, let's hope I'm in a good mood because it's not gone well so far. That will be out this week.
You can turn it around against Atleti? I mean, probably not, no. I mean, come
Lee,
on.
Have you've watched us today.
Yeah.
We don't have any players.
Yeah.
Just pray for a miracle. Miracles have happened. Do you remember? I remember Lucas Moura running around with a ball in his top.
Yeah, yeah.
When we came back to qualify for the Champions League final. I remember the good old days under Pochettino, he's magic, you know. And I
mean, that would be new levels of
I will
miracle,
go there and believe in my team until the bitter end.
We didn't even have time to discuss, because it was so long ago, the old Kinski thing, did we?
No, let's not talk about it. We talked about that on our Ohana podcast.
We did that.
If you want to listen to it and go back. So we got that. I mean, this week I'll also be doing the Scout Q&A with Az this week, as usual, on Thursday. And then I'll be going to Spurs on Sunday. So when you see me on Sunday next week,
You'll have two trips to the Spurs Stadium.
I've been down there twice, hopefully for two wins.
Glutton for punishment, you.
I know. But that is what you do when you love a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. FPL Overpaid says, please get the pictures wrong every week. I love it.
Look,
so good.
The best thing about it is that I check them as well. So
wow.
I finish doing the graphic. I look at them. But I must have just... Because what happens with these graphics, just as an aside, is that I change the formation on the team, but the bench is always locked.
All right.
So the bench doesn't... When I move from 4-4-2 to 3-4-3 or whatever, the bench doesn't change.
Right.
Which is why sometimes you see a player twice. Yeah.
Sam, they're not moaning. They love it.
No, I know. But I tell you what they don't love.
What?
The fixture ticker being wrong.
They don't. No one wants the fixture ticker to be wrong, do they? They know.
You also didn't show my other graphic that I made tonight.
What did you show? What did you do?
It's called Game Week Highlights. I made it.
Game Week Highlights.
You won't be able to read it. You'll moan that you can't read it because you'll say it's too small for you. But the guys will watch us on the TV. They'll be... Yeah, you'll find it. It's sitting there with the XG.
Game Week Highlights. There it is. Let's have a look. Oh, here we go. Go on then. Talk us through that.
It's so this is one of the
benefits. You're not watching on your phone. It's very small.
It's very small on your phone. I knew you were going to say that. That's what I said. For those of you watching on your TVs or your computers, you'll see it.
Yeah.
For those of you that are Scout members, this is part of the Scout members offering. It basically brings up the four. I've done it in fives, but you can have it in tens if you prefer.
Oh, nice.
It takes you through the highlights of the game week so far. Top for XG, top for XA, top for this, top for that. I had to cut a couple off because I couldn't fit them all on the graphic.
So the top five for a lot of these key FPL categories. So, for example, you want to look at this week's top five for defensive contributions. Mavrapanos in there with 20. Who else we got? 20, Gross is in there.
Incredible.
20, isn't it? Camvo in there with 18. And by the way,
Camvo.
I think we need to give a shout out to Camvo. If you haven't seen...
Highlight of my weekend, that.
If you haven't seen the celebration that he did when Goodmanson gets sent off, have a look at that on Twitter next. That's sensational.
He's like a little dance.
He's properly like, Goodmanson gets sent off. A fellow professional gets sent off. And he gives it all of this. He's like,
do you know what you should do? Somebody should give him some maracas and a grass skirt because he kind of feels like he's doing a bit of a hula dance.
Anyway, back to this.
Nick
is saying, this looks great on the TV. George is saying, he's watching on the TV. This looks great, Sam.
See, I knew it would on the TV and I knew that Lee would moan and say it's too small for him to read. If you're watching it on the TV, it'll be great. If you want a Scout member, this is the sort of insight of the stuff that they break down easily and quickly so that you can see it as an aside. You can make it big, you can sort it by teams, you can do whatever the hell you like. But yes, I just thought I'd flag it because sometimes they might be useful. Now, we actually didn't talk about anything that I thought we would show it, but I'll make one of these every week and drop it there just so that you've got it in case we're talking about
nice
defensive contributions and who got the most or assists or whatever it might be.
And if you're not a member over at Scout, never too late in the season.
Especially if you're playing World Cup Fantasy as well.
Of Fantasy Football Scout. Links are in the description below if you want to become a Scout member. That's it, Sam. Like, subscribe. Thanks for having us all. Thanks for having us on your TV screens or on your phone screens or wherever you're watching us. I hope you enjoyed the live stream. Well done for game week 30. This is the calm before the storm. The blanks and the doubles are coming. Good luck. If you've got Thiago, you've got Diango. Diango?
Who's Diango?
Diango, I don't know. Good luck. If you've got, who else? Kelleher, maybe? There'll be a few Kellehers
out
there.
Just make sure Thiago has a blimmin' shot this week, please.
Sharders maybe out there, I don't know. But anyway, good luck if you've got your Brentford assets or even if you've got Wolves. I mean, we shouldn't rule them out, right? If you've got Wolves assets
tomorrow. Need to win.
As well, then good luck for those as well. That's it. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll see you next Sunday when we'll be discussing game week 31.
And hopefully Spurs have won.
And hopefully Spurs are staying up and they're beating Forest. But until then, guys, good night. See you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.